All right. So this morning's first reading comes from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 6, and is entitled The Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." This morning's gospel reading is Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Praise to Christ the Word. I said your bit.
Thank you, Thomas. And we'll just welcome up Davis, who's looking mighty fine this morning. That was an... We good? Yep. Oh, I see. It's an awful noise, wasn't it? Goodness. All right, I'm just going to pray for Davis, and we're going to get into it. Lord, thank you so much for this steadfast and courageous servant that we have, who we're blessed to have in this church. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be working through him this morning and give him confidence and calm any nerves and be ready to hear whatever it is that you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Will. Just while Thomas is getting our sound ready, I'm just going to get myself ready. How's everyone doing? Okay, yeah, all three of you, that's great. How's everyone doing? Fantastic, that's better. Well, I just thought I'd show up this morning because last week while Franco was getting commissioned, he was all dressed up in a tuxedo. So I thought I'd go original, and usually I'm in my shorts and my Crocs and my tees, but today I thought I'd step it up a little bit, eh? And first and foremost, the swafa Yesu Kiriso, te whātalo whātua ei, ma malu tatu putuputonga le ni tai au. Ia, a vea whai au e whai masui o le au whai ngā ringa i nei All Saints, e whai ei se tala pupuu, i whai upu o tatu whai tawina le ni tai au. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I'd love to greet you and just say it's an honour and a privilege to be here. And I am humbled to actually share a few thoughts on these passages that are just the Word of God and just the put some mullings based on this season of Lent that we sit in right now. And so I got the easy one out of all of them, take up your cross, yep. And the bishop got clothe yourself in compassion, so you be the judge. But as I began to mull on the scripture that Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wants to be my follower, they must deny themselves, take up your cross and follow me. Follower really stuck out to me. And it took me down a path of what does a follower look like in our culture today? It looks like this. You know, I wanted to look at our context and go, okay, what does it look like to be a follower these days? And if you don't know this symbol, it has two meanings. The first meaning is that when you decide to follow someone else, so either you're following them to see, hey, what they're into, kind of having a look at their public figures, this usually symbolizes you following them. And the amount of them makes sense, tells you how many followers are following them, right? We can do it for many purposes, for things like education, etc., etc. The other reason or the other point to the symbol is that we, when you click on the symbol, there's also a bit behind the other side of you following me. So this statement of being a follower has 2 points. One, to follow someone, or for people to follow me. That's kind of what this is all about. And we can look at what it means to be a follower and look at the positives. A follower in our social context right now. And the positives can be that, hey, we can be informed about things in the world. We can get a whole bunch of information at will. And that's pretty cool because it means that we can access whatever, wherever, whenever. Number two, it builds connections. When we're able to follow people in this format, in this way, in this time, in this culture, we can be in distant rooms right across on the other side of the world and be connected with our friends, our families. And that's an exciting positive too. Thirdly, education. We can learn from others. We can actually follow someone because we want to really have a look at how do they do the jam? Or maybe share some of the experiences on life and things that are going on because they appeal to us. You can kind of call that the tips of the trade. But just like most things, there's also a negative to the side. Things like, wow, there is so much information. Which information? What's right? What's wrong? And I didn't have a slide for this one, but there's this term they call catfish. Have you ever heard of that? Who here has heard of catfish? If you don't know what that means, it's this idea that what you see is not what you get. Okay? And so there's also the negative of connections, that there's something about being in proximity so close to one another that really allows us to connect for real. And the dangers we have if we rely solely on this distant kind of artificial relationship is we begin to lead into artificial relationships. Things become increasingly instantaneous. I'm not too sure if this is the following that Jesus is looking for in our time and age. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've gone to check my phone for kind of, you know, 30 seconds to just see if where the wife is or how the kids are doing. 45 minutes later, I find myself, has anyone had that? So it can create this kind of what I think for myself, if I'm doing this so often, this type of following, is that I find myself being distant to the side, almost like I'm in airplane mode, where things are happening in the background. Life is just going on, but I'm over here doing my thing. I'm doing what I want, when I want, however I want to do it. And this leads me to our Old Testament reading of the Tower of Babel. This is what drew out the scripture for me when I started thinking about what it means to follow in our context. This is about the beginning of scripture, this moment in human history where people decide to build this gigantic tower made out of bricks and mortar. But here's the thing. This was a tower built by human hands. It was almost like a declaration of independence, so to speak, that this human-made city and this man-made tower was to show that I can be like God. I can reach up to God. I can do it. I can do it. Kind of like the brick of our day. And in that, we tend to say, I can be God. You can be God. You can be whatever you want. So what could Jesus be referring to when he says, if anyone wants to be my follower? I'd like to suggest an earlier time in biblical narrative in Genesis, before the fall, a time where Adam and Eve were in the garden. And it wasn't little. A garden that God created. And they were blessed and they were asked to multiply and fill the world. In God's garden, they cared for creation. They were given responsibility and roles. In God's garden, they were naked. They were unashamed. In God's created garden, at the end, his very description was very good. Did you know that? That's what God thinks of you, you know? Very good. What could this garden illustration tell us about what it means to be a follower? Let me suggest that God is wanting an authentic, natural, and organic friendship and relationship with you when he says, if anyone wants to be my follower. Anyone that knows gardening knows how long it takes to begin a garden and all the hard work that it takes. It's a long process before you see anything. And I've often reflected how long it has taken me and still takes me to appreciate his work that he's cultivating in my being. And it reminded me of this quote, that God moves excruciatingly slow until he moves supernaturally and spiritually quick. I'd like to suggest that to follow Jesus is to cultivate a natural, slow, authentic, organic relationship with Jesus. Then how do we cultivate a garden like that? Well, the verse says, if anyone wants to be my follower, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Three things. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of reflecting on this, and I don't really wake up every morning and go, Lord, I am super excited to deny myself today over and over again. It's a joy of mine, you know? I don't know about you, but I have that challenge where it can be difficult for me. But we need to surrender. Surrender is this act of turning away. And verse 25 gives us that hint that actually we've got to let go of our lives. Because it's in the letting go where you will find. It's in the holding where you will lose. They go hand in hand. You've got to trust. And I always find this interesting because we live in a world where it's like, you've got to earn my trust. Will prayed a prayer this morning. It really struck me here in worship is that he said, God trusts us. Well, yeah, he does. Even before the garden, when he created it, he trusted that they were just going to do the work. So trust is freely given. Trust is taking that step, trusting that the earth beneath your feet will come to meet your step. That's trusting. And upon personal reflection about this denying and surrendering and trust, I can best describe it for me personally as in the lowest of my lows in my life, when I've been in the dumps, and there have been many times, when I've tried to work my way out, I just find myself more in a bind. In my highest of highs, where I feel like I'm on top of the world, I begin to realize that actually none of those decisions that got me there were of my doing. It was a spirit, it was Jesus whispering to me, guiding me, leading me. Take up the cross. If you notice with that part, Jesus doesn't say, will you take up my cross? Davis, you can take my cross. No. He says, take up your cross, their cross. Your cross, my cross. You've got to take yours, I've got to take mine. Because we couldn't take his cross. Yeah? And to me, that suggests that in all of us, we must have a cross to carry at some point in time. It could also suggest that there maybe is a special assignment that God has assigned you to bring and to cultivate his kingdom garden here on earth. It's just for you. And it could also mean that there are areas and spaces in our lives that require renovation, extensions, or even demolitions. I am the vine, you are the branches, any branches in life, you know the drill. But here's the thing. We like to live comfortable lives that are in our control. But pleasure without purpose will always equal pain. Pleasure, what I want to do, without the purpose and the meaning it was designed for, you're asking for pain. This shows up in our divorce statistics. But it also summarizes that moment in the garden. It's the beginning of the break. It's the separation from the Creator who longs to create and share with you and I. So what do we do? What do we do about this call to be a follower, to deny yourself, to carry your cross and follow me? I think there's a hint in verse 26 for us. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? What will they give in return for your life? What will you give for your life? What would I give? This is why I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Because he values my soul, your soul, way more than me sometimes. I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, I'm sick of trying to build things in my own make. We're in the season of Lent, thinking I can reach whatever it is that brings the desires of my heart, thinking I could reach to God. And even yet, this God comes down for you and for me and for the entirety of the human race and creation. He comes down. This God, who out of his very nature of love decides to create us in the first place. This God, who is the tridimensional relationship that we call the Godhead, perfect in synergy, decides to send us his Son. This Son, who takes human form and keeps the synergy with his Father's will. This Son who denies his rightful place and in perfect obedience carries his cross. The cross that Jesus carries for you and I is the total weight of sin for all of humanity from generation to generation till eternity, our past, our present, our future to come. He who knew no sin, who had no darkness in him. But it was our sins that did that to him. It was our pain he carries. Our disfigurements. All the things that are wrong with us. We thought that he brought on himself. But it was our sins that did that to him. When we look to the cross, we have done our own thing. We've gone our own way. And God piles that sin and everything we have done wrong and puts it on him. That's his cross. He took the punishment. He made us whole again. Through his bruises, we are healed. That's Isaiah 53, by the way. So that's how much Jesus values you and I. So let me ask you a question. What will you give in return for your soul? Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, no height, no depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate you and I from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if anyone wants to be my follower, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. This is Philippians. I like Philippians. Drew me to Philippians. So what do we do, family? What do we do? We got to ask, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought that he was in the form of God, as something to be exploited, but empties himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. That's our call. Here's the privilege that we have, that we can become disciples who follow Jesus, that we can become a community, a family, his children, that he ushers in through his love, with common unity and relationships with our Maker and with one another. And they don't look like towers. They look like gardens. They're not human-made. We get the privilege of transforming our cities because he has cultivated his fruit of the Spirit because Jesus is in us. We could become his agents, his hands and his feet within the very spaces we inhabit to grow his garden kingdom work here on earth. So in this season of Lent, where do you see the invitation for yourself? Where to start, maybe? How about prayer? How about prayer? Talk to God. Ask, seek him. Knock on his door. And he will open. How about talk to someone? How about talk to the staff here? How about talk to your, our community here of believers? How about that? We have a thing called the six pillars that we go through at interns. It just allows us to provide some language for the spiritual, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the relational, the financial. How about somewhere around there? If anyone wants to be my follower, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Don't wait. Do it today. For you will find the life and purpose he's designed for you. You will find a life worth living and a love worth following. Let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, thank you. That the beauty of your love is one of sacrifice, of servanthood. Because you want to cultivate in us depth and your fruits and your likeness. So may your word be a lamp to our feet. May it be food to our souls. May it renew our minds. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name.